Okay, I think we'll get back into Galatians at least for 1 week and see where we go after that. And again, Paul wrote this letter to the saints in Galatia because of the false teachers that had come in and attempting to add things to salvation. Except a man be circumcised, he can't be saved. And Paul pointed out the gross error in those things. And that salvation is by the shed blood of Jesus Christ alone. And he also, if you remember, as we went through that, he showed how that was the only way it ever was. You know, those that seek salvation in ceremonies and rituals, or those that seek salvation in the works of some man or themselves, or a man who, or folks that seek salvation through some organization or group, is through the shed blood of Christ alone. And it was ever that way. These dispensationalists, these ultra dispensationalists said, you know, well, folks in the Old Testament are saved this way, folks in this era are saved this way, and folks are going to be saved there different ways come what they call the tribulation. There's only been one way. It's been the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that alone. Paul spoke of the faith of Christ. That's what he gives to his elect. And he spoke of how, you know, Abraham and the Old Testament saints had that same faith. We call it the faith of Abraham because it's the faith that Abraham had that he received of Christ, and we received the same one. And Paul got over to where we were in chapter 5, and he was concerned as well that these folks not think, well, I'm saved by grace, and it don't matter how I live, you know. And well, if you're saved by grace, it will matter to you how you live. And chapter 5, Paul said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. But again, he warns us that we not use that liberty as an occasion for the flesh in verse 13 of chapter 5. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And so Paul then begins to delineate things. He gets into specifics. You know, the little peons we are, the little limited human beings, it's important sometimes to get to specifics. And Paul gets to specifics. And he said in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he spoke of the lust of the flesh. And we looked at those for some time now. Adultery. Fornication. Those things are still wrong. So, well, in this day and age, things have changed. And, well, God's surely gotten with it, you know. No, you better get with it. Mm-hmm. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. I can't say that word without talking about the underlying word there. Pharmakia. Drugs. That's what we see in our society today. And they're pushing this on everybody. From the highest levels of our illegitimate, tyrannical government. Witchcraft. Hatred. And then we've been looking at this next group of words for some time now. And we looked at and delineated the meaning of each one. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings. Now, these things that are emblematic of a type of life, an attitude, a character. The word, you know, we bear grudges, or we covet, and all these things that in relation to others, And Paul speaks of those things, and I call it, you know, being a Yankee, or you can call it being a Puritan, if you will, understanding the Puritan as the New England Puritans. And they're still there today. They just don't believe anything. They don't believe Christianity anymore, but they still got to make you just like they are. They'll throw you in jail if you don't. Ugh, obviously. And they culminate in that last word that we've looked in this grouping, murders. Mm-hmm. That's where it all leads to. That's where it all culminates. You look through the years. Look at Rome, pagan Rome, that fed the Christians to the lions. So-called Christian Rome that burned our Baptist forebears at the stake and persecuted them unto death. Again, the so-called persecuted that came to America from Europe, the Puritans, and picked up the persecution of our Baptist forebears and beat them mercilessly and put them in jails. Abe Lincoln and his invasion of the southern states, and we can go on and on. Now, here I got in the pulpit, dare I say naked, but that's okay. I put on my belt today, and I put it through my holster and through my magazine holder, and I left my gun and my magazines upstairs that's all right. Don't worry. I got stuff up here in the pulpit just in case. And I got bigger stuff right back here just in case. So don't worry. But, boy, I just all of a sudden I reached down. I said, oh, man, I forgot to put in my magazine. I reached down and didn't put in my gun. That ain't right. I apologize to you. Really. Okay. Because I ain't planning on going quietly when they come to murder me. But and when Paul speaks here of murder, he's speaking of the unlawful taking of a life. And unjust taking of a life. And just because the government does it doesn't mean it's lawful or that it's just.
Exactly.
And we talked about, I think, when we closed, about the bombing of, you can start with Charleston and places like Hiroshima and Dresden, civilian centers.
Right.
You know? Decent people don't do that. There you go. And the Apostle John reminded us when we consider it. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Again, it's an attitude, it's a mindset that culminates in murder. He who hates his brother is a murderer. Because given the chance, he would. I don't like the word chance. Give him the opportunity or whatever. The Lord said in his earthly ministry, Matthew 5, verse 21, you have heard that it was said of them of old, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So, Paul tells us to avoid these things. The envyings, the seditions, the strifes, the variances, all those things we talked about. But brethren, I want you to understand that does not mean that we're supposed to be quiet and docile in the face of evil. too many folks that think they're Christians today are geldings.
Right.
You know, they think that's the way it should be. Somehow in their mind, they think that's the way the Lord was, or the apostles. They must not have read the Bible. They're very quick to tell us that we're behaving in an unchristian manner. Not every week, but very frequently somebody will accuse me of that on Facebook or wherever. The last one that did that, he even unfriended me and blocked me before I could even respond, you know. And I never said anything evil. I just responded to with facts about things. He didn't like that. And it all started, it revolving around this whole jab thing. I mean, it's breaking people apart. And you know what? It's mainly folks over there. You know, they can't bear to hear the truth.
Right.
They don't want to hear the truth. So these modern emasculated geldings are quick to tell us about how unchristian we are, or how unchristlike. The idea is, I guess, that we're just supposed to embrace anyone and everything that claims to Christianity. Those who claim to have faith in God, be it any God, or anything, or any philosophy. But we remember, as we're reading this book, and as we're considering these things that Paul said, that certainly he's not telling us that we're supposed to be docile and quiet in the face of evil. We remember how this book began. This very same book, a few chapters forward in chapter 1 of Galatians 1, and we read in verse 6, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." There are folks that are troubling believers. They're perverting the gospel of Christ. Did Paul say, "Let's hold hands and sing Kumbaya"? No, he said, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Let it be an anathema. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Paul's saying, let these people be accursed. Let them be damned. Let them be anathema. We remember also in this letter, Paul had a confrontation with another apostle. One who was more senior in the faith, at least in terms of longevity. And speaking out against the error even of folks who are brethren. Not hatred. It's genuine love. In Galatians 2, again, this same book. So don't say, "Well, I'll take this portion over here and it'll make me want to just sing Kumbaya and be nice and loving and accept everybody and embrace everything." Yeah, no, Paul doesn't allow you that option. God doesn't allow you that option. In chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, Paul says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." Paul stands up to Peter. And he looks him in the face and he says, "You're to be blamed. What you're doing is not right. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision." Peter was afraid of what folks were going to think. So he modified his behavior. Not to conform with God's word and God's direction, but to conform with what was the accepted practice, and to conform with the thoughts of man and religion. He withdrew himself and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. He's speaking of the Jews. And the other Jews dissembled, the other converted Jews, those who had been saved by the grace of God. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Even one such as Barnabas, that is lauded most places in Scripture, he's carried away by the bad example of Peter. So obviously, he was to be blamed. And obviously, this had to be dealt with. The son of consolation, you know, was carried away with this. "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" You know, yeah, before it was all hunky-dory and fine, and now you're trying to act like the Gentiles are supposed to live according to the Old Testament laws. You're just like these folks, really, that Paul was dealing with here in Galatia. So, brethren, we're not to be quiet and docile. We are to hate what God hates. We are to condemn what God condemns. And it means things, and again, to point out specifics, like that thing in Washington that now wears the uniform of an admiral, you know, that was born a man and even had fathered children, and now thinks it's a woman. And was appointed by the reprobate old White Joe as a 4-star admiral, a full admiral, in the health corps. God calls that evil. God condemns that.
Yes.
God hates that. And I think we're obligated to speak out. Now, again, in the context of what Paul has been saying here, we're not to seek personal revenge, but we are to seek God's justice. We are to protect the flock. We are to expose the evil. We are to point out the tyranny that surrounds us. Yeah. Moses wasn't too bashful before Pharaoh. They were not supposed to be. John the Baptist wasn't bashful before Herod. It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. You're going to say that to the boss man? That may not be too healthy, John. No, it wasn't. Not in physical terms. But John's with his Lord today. And Herod has been suffering all these years. And so, we are to speak out. We are not to be meek and mild in the face of tyranny. But it ought not be from a motive of personal revenge or of covetousness. I want what he's got. I'm going to do what I got can to get it. They're just the totally opposite spirit. In Romans, Paul told us, Romans 12, verse 16. He said, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Don't be so self-impressed. Don't think you're a big shot. You're the big man. Be of the same mind towards one another. Don't think more of yourself than you ought to. It doesn't mean you're not going to speak out against evil. But particularly amongst the brethren, it says, condescend to men of low estate. What's the old thing they say about, you know, being nice to people while you're on your way up the ladder of success, because hopefully they'll be nice to you while you're on your way back down it. Or something to that effect. Again, he continues, verse 7. Recompense no man evil for evil. Listen, don't just be motivated by by seeking to get even. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. We ought to seek to be honest, to be forthright, to be just. And then in verse 18, he gets to the core of the matter. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If it be possible, we should seek peace with all men. But call them what you will. Politicians, Romanists, Puritans, Yankees, call them what you will. Some people will not be lived with peaceably.
Right.
They won't let you live with them peaceably. Paul says, if it be possible, as much as life with you, live peaceably with all men. And then he says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Avenge not yourselves. Stand for truth. Stand for right. But again, don't seek revenge. Avenge not yourselves. But rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Sometimes it's just good to kind of just get out of the way and let the Lord take care of it. You know, and as somebody said, I forget exactly what it said, but sometimes we just need to let the Lord take care of it. Because if I take care of it, I'm going to jail. And there's truth in that. I've been there. Not to jail. Well, I did. I have. I had a prison ministry for a while, but I've been there. I've been there to where, you know, I know if I did what I wanted to do, I'm going to jail. If I did what I even thought maybe I ought to do. That's the sad thing today, but we live in such a corrupt society. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He'd probably do a better job than me. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Try to be right to people. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And some folks take that as a reference to eternal judgment, or they take it as a reference to his own conscience, or whatever. It doesn't I mean, it matters, but the important thing is, you know, you're heaping coals on his head when you do that. Sometimes I just try to be, some of you think I can't be nice, but when people are being ugly to me, I just try to be nice right back to them. And that infuriates them even more. Maybe that's bad on my part, but I kind of sometimes enjoy that, you know. I just be calm and be nice to them, and they just get more furious, more inflamed. We should seek to live at peace with all men as much as lies within us. We should seek to do our duty, and to do our duty without any motivation of personal animosity. You know, like, I'm going to get you. No, but I'm not going to let you harm my family. I'm not going to let you harm the Lord's people, just as Paul wouldn't. I won't allow that. But I'm not seeking revenge or animosity. Not as a motivation out of my personal animosity. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult. I understand that. Live peaceably with all men. Kind of comes down to this, and I find myself saying this a lot lately, is I just want to be let alone. Mm-hmm. And how about this? You do you, and I do me. Fine. I'm okay with that. But don't say, I'll do me, and I'm going to make you do what I've done. Like old White Joe and these other folks want to do. You know, I'm going to make you take the jab. This experimental, ineffective. How they still get on TV and lie about it being safe and effective. I mean, how do they do that? I guess they didn't take enough paycheck.
Right.
But there's another payday coming. Mm-hmm. As R.G. Lee used to say, payday someday. And the Lord will balance the book. Mm-hmm. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So we need to be careful not to consider ourselves as infallible or superior, as Paul was talking about there, but to seek to humbly do our duty. I'll close with this one in Romans 12 as well, a few verses above. In Romans 12, verse 3, Paul said this, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Whether I've gotten more spiritual or not, I don't know. But every day I become more and more aware of how sinful and rotten I am. And every day, Paul's words, you know, ring through my head. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. If we keep that in mind, you know, we won't be so liable to think more of ourselves than we ought to, and to act from superiority, like we know what's better for everyone else. And so I pray that we might understand what Paul's telling us here, that we might stand and do our duty, and stand and do right, and behave as Christian men and women, and not as geldings. I don't remember if I know what you call a female horse that's been fixed or whatever, if they do them. But I know male horse is a gelding. And you're not supposed to be that. You ought not. And as I've said, the Lord can use women, and they can stand strong. And I'm so impressed. My heroes, many of them, are the biblical women that stood so strong against the tide of the day. And we can learn from them as well as anybody. Okay, I'm rambling again. We'll take our hymnals and we'll sing closing hymn together, and we'll stand for number 309, God's Decrees. There were a bunch of good songs today, but I guess they're all good. But God's Decrees, number 309. If you like, you can stand as we close. Gadsby was here and writing about today, wouldn't
yes,
you?
Yes,
yes. You know? And plagues and deaths around me fly, till he bids I cannot die. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you could get a government scam just to be sure. I'd just rather trust in him.
Exactly.
Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that you are the sovereign ruler. You decreed our birth, our death, our parents. And Lord, more than that, you decreed our second birth. Father, help us to be those saints that you can use. Lord, help us to live in accordance with your word, to be conformed to the image of our Savior and your Son. Lord, thank you for each one that's here. We pray your hand on them as they go their ways this week. Pray for our friends and brethren, the Gregories, as they're traveling, others that need your healing. Thank you, Lord, of the young family and mother that has cancer. Pray for continued peace and comfort for the Ashley family. Father, we thank you that you loved your people with an everlasting and eternal love. We thank you for our Savior that bore our sins, suffered our punishments, for his complete atonement. There's a glorious, victorious resurrection from the dead. Lord, that we know it's finished. There's nothing that we need add. There's nothing that we could add. Father, help us to live our lives that men may see that we trust in Thee, that they may see that truly it's well with our souls. Just thank You, Lord, for Your sovereignty. Thank You for our Savior. And we pray in His name. Amen.
Amen.